proclaiming truth to restore life and liberty. This is The Future of America with your host, Nena Arias. She has proclaimed truth for over 40 years in many nations of the world and now endeavors to restore the values of the biblical worldview that made the United States of America the most powerful nation in the world. Ideas have consequences. They're passed on from generation to generation, forming the culture of a society. To eradicate error, the moral and ethical principles of the Bible must be firmly established in the heart and mind of each individual. Discover how to apply biblical principles to transform your world. And now, your host, Nena Arias.
Those of us who want to live a life of truth around the world must ask ourselves on a daily basis, as we see the events of the world unfold before our eyes, where does truth lie? What is going on in our world? Does it seem like the world is spinning out of control? Does it seem like wherever we look, there are no real answers? Those who have the titles, those who have positions in government, those who have the positions of importance in the world of education, they don't seem to have any real answers. And humanity just seems to be spinning out of control. We're going to be looking at this topic. The world has knowledge, but no wisdom. This is part number one, and I welcome you to the broadcast. And I hope that this topic will pique your interest so you too can do your own research and find real answers based on real wisdom. Like never before, the world has access to an overwhelming amount of information and knowledge at its fingertips, especially since the technology of the internet was invented and became readily available. Those of you who have a computer, who are able to go on the internet and ask any question on any subject, you are going to find sources of information that will endeavor to answer your question. And when you research far and wide in trustworthy sources, you will find that there may be the same knowledge that is being passed from one source to another. So you arrive at the conclusion, oh, they must be right. But like never before, countries around the world, and America especially, has the most college-educated people than it ever has. And yet, the benefits of that is not transferring into our culture because there is little or no wisdom being implemented. And what we see transferring into our culture is so deficient that it offers no answers. In other words, the world has knowledge, but no wisdom. This is why it piqued my interest to delve into this subject. But first of all, I like to define terms so we all know what we're talking about. Terms can mean many things to many people, and so let's first define what we are talking about when we emphasize wisdom as something that should be coveted. Let's set the foundation for the development of this topic and our understanding. First of all, wisdom is a virtue. It is a virtue that comes from the Latin word virtus, and it basically means moral excellence. Now, we know that morality has been disputed as of late. And people reject that word because they know it means moral excellence. And they don't want to hear it because it reveals their less than moral behavior. A virtue is a trait or quality that is deemed to be morally good and therefore is valued as a foundation of principle and good moral beings. It is an adornment to the character of the highest quality. Now, there is a debate in the world. Who dictates morality? Well, since it has become popular to exclude God, because the world thinks that God's definition of morals is too strict, too limiting, then the definition of that goes in many directions. And so people choose to be their own moral guide rather than consult God. But the Bible is very clear and very succinct in what God defines as morality. And we only have to read 10 simple statements established in God's Word to find out what morality is from God's perspective. And you know I'm talking about the 10 Commandments. Now, the 10 Commandments are 10 very basic, clearly spoken indications, instructions on how to live properly. Because we are God's creation, God says, "You shall have no other gods before me." God establishes his unique position in relation to all of his creation, of which the human beings are the crown jewel of his creation. So he says, don't have any other gods before me. Don't make any images of anything on the earth. I alone am God. And then he goes on to say, don't take my name in vain. I'm not a toy to be played with. Do not underestimate me, who I am, what I stand for. I am not your plaything. So be very careful not to mock my name. God says, I take that very seriously. Then he goes on to give indications of our relationship with other human beings. And he starts at the base of the human relationships, which is in the home. He said, you are to honor your father and your mother. Don't dishonor those who have brought you into this world. Honor them. And it would be another topic in itself to explain what honoring our parents means. I'll just basically say that we can honor our parents even if they are not what we would consider worthy of that honor. But it is a commandment. So we must honor our parents. And then God goes on to describe the limits that we have in relationship to other human beings. Don't commit adultery. Do not commit sexual sin with other human beings. Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't speak falsely of other people. Don't covet what other people have. And so when you break down those 10 indications, those 10 commandments, they're not suggestions. They are literally set in stone. That is the way God gave them to Moses originally, to lead and guide the nation of Israel whom God chose and created to be a model for the rest of the nations in the world. So the instructions, the law, the commandments that God gave Israel are for the entire world. It applies to every single human being. So that is an interesting study, and I would encourage you to study in depth what each commandment means and how we are to observe them. In the New Testament, the Bible describes these virtues of the highest quality as the fruits of the Spirit. Now, the word Spirit is in capital S, meaning it is a pronoun in reference to the Holy Spirit of God. So once a person comes into a personal relationship with God through a born-again experience in Jesus Christ, these are the fruits that we are to cultivate in our lives. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is a biblical term that sums up 9 attributes that the Holy Spirit helps us to work out in our lives. And I want to make reference in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, is the list of these 9 attributes that God looks for in the life of a believer, in the life of a person who has been born again and is endeavoring to live the life the way God has designed it. And so we read in Ephesians 5:22 and 23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." End of quote. Now let's look at these so we can understand what they mean and we can see how attainable they are with God's help and how important they are in the character of a person who wants to build strong character, where nothing in this world will move you. And it says, when you develop these, there will be no law that will be against you. It says, against such things, there is no law. God will not judge you wrongly, and man's law will also have to agree that you are a person of right standing, and the people around you will learn to recognize in you the high level of quality of these virtues in your life. But we must understand them. And again, I repeat, this would be a complete subject in itself, but I'm basically going to describe each one in words that we can understand. For instance, the first fruit is love. Now, God's form of love is not what we human beings describe as love. It is not an emotion. Human beings describe love as an emotion, but God doesn't. Which is why he can love us even though we are sinners. Which is why he can look beyond our faults and our failures and still love us and want a better life for us. And so we need to learn what that quality of love is from God's perspective. And that means that you and I also can love people who are unlovable, who are not friendly to us, who are our enemies, Why? Because we can see everyone through the eyes of God and the value that God gives each human being. So that is what God is talking about when he says that's the kind of love you need to develop. The next one is joy. Now, what is he talking about here? First of all, it's not a frivolous emotion, giddiness, or outward exuberance. That is not what God is pointing out here when he talks about joy. Because joy, from God's perspective, is an attitude. It's an attitude of the heart. I have joy because I can see all things in perspective. And even though I may be going through difficult times, I have joy in my heart. And the God kind of joy, nothing and no one can take it from you. It's a very, very unique experience to live in the joy of the Lord. And that's another wonderful subject to look into. The next virtue is peace. Boy, do we need peace. But with everything happening around us, how can we have peace? Well, the kind of peace that God gives and that we cultivate through the Holy Spirit of God in our heart is not due to the absence of problems, but in spite of them. Did you get that? We have God's peace not because we don't have problems, but in spite of them, we have peace because we know that God is in control of our lives and he doesn't lose control, even if we think he has lost control of our lives. The way he works, the way he develops his plan for us is not problem free. On the contrary, problems come to try our character, to try our commitment. But in spite of all things, we can have peace because we know that he is working all things for our good. See, that's the perspective of the Holy Spirit. So these virtues that we're enumerating here can only come through the Spirit of God because our human nature produces just the opposite. When there are problems, people want to push the panic button. They want to cry. They're angry. They fall apart. They have everything but peace because they don't understand what is happening. But through the Holy Spirit, when we have understanding, we can have perfect peace in the midst of the worst storm that we have ever faced in our lives. The next virtue is patience. Oh boy, is that a hard one? Patience. But when you know that God is in control, patience kicks in. Why? Because to you, doing the will of God is what is important. And God has a timing for all things. So you are waiting for God's timing to manifest what you want him to manifest in your life. And so you have patience because you know that God is never late, but he's also never in a hurry. So you learn to wait for God's timing in all things, and that develops patience. The next virtue is kindness. God wants us to work kindness in our heart regardless of who is in front of us. We are to be kind people. And when we think about how kind and how loving God is with us, how can we do any less with other people, even if we don't like them? Remember, God's love is not an emotion. So the God kind of love kicks in, the God kind of perspective kicks in, and so you can be kind even to the most unlovely person. Goodness. We must be and practice goodness. And the other word that I can think of that is compassion. We can work compassion toward others. Give them a helping hand. Be good to them. The other virtue is faithfulness. Who doesn't need that ingredient in those that surround you? Faithfulness, consistency, truthful to what you commit to. We need people to be faithful around us. And if you are going to be a godlike kind of person in your character, you better be faithful. First of all, to God, to what you have committed and how you have committed to live before God. And that will come through in your relationships with other people. You will learn to be faithful. You will learn to be honest and trustworthy. You will learn to be a person of integrity and fulfill what you have promised. Your word has weight when you are a faithful person. What about gentleness? Can a gentle person be a strong person? Or do we just associate a gentle person with a weak person? Dear friends, the kind of gentleness that is described here coming from the Holy Spirit is anything but weakness. It takes great strength to not lash out when somebody is mistreating you. Your gentleness must come through to others. And then there is that all-important one, self-control. That virtue is worth so much, self-control. That means that you bridle, you rein in everything about you that wants to go wild. You exercise self-control. You have set a standard of being faithful to God, and you exercise self-control when your fleshly appetites want to go haywire, when your flesh wants to do what it wants to do, naturally because of its fallen nature, you will rein it in. So we are told that against all these beautiful attributes, these beautiful virtues, there is no law that will condemn you. And from this source is the source that wisdom comes from. Wisdom guides you in the use of these attributes through the help of the Holy Spirit. So now you can see why wisdom should be one of the most coveted virtues in the world. Now, what do we mean by wisdom? Well, let's continue to expand on what wisdom is. Wisdom is the virtue where good judgment is applied. Good judgment. When you are a wise person, you know how to proceed with good judgment. Wisdom is a priceless personal development that requires extraordinary applied knowledge. It's priceless, but it is a personal development. You have to work at being wise, but not just out of your plain desire. First, you need the help of the Holy Spirit, and then you need good, accurate knowledge properly applied. Wisdom is rooted in proper and accurate perspectives, truthful interpretations, enduring values, and brave, courageous acts. All of these things are embodied in a person who is wise. Wisdom is an attitude to open the mind for critical thinking, to be instructed in truth, first by God and then by those around us. So you cannot arrive at true wisdom without knowing the perspective of all things from God's view. Who is the ultimate source of wisdom that can instruct us in all ways? Nobody can supersede the knowledge of God. His knowledge is superior. So then when you have that knowledge, then you can learn from those around you. Wisdom learns from everything and everyone, even from children. Have you heard that saying that out of the mouth of babes, we can be instructed? That's right. Wisdom is everywhere. We just have to learn to recognize it and define it in our hearts. A virtue is a trait or a quality that is deemed to be morally good as opposed to evil. So when you know the difference between good and evil, you are a very wise person. You are in a very good position to make an accurate assessment on anything. Therefore, it is highly prized as a foundation of principle, a foundational principle of a good moral human being. Personal virtues are characteristics valued as promoting collective and individual greatness. When you analyze the character and the greatness of a person, you will recognize these virtues that we have described. From where? From God's Word. They are essential characteristics of behavior. In other words, it is behavior that shows high moral standards when they are guided by these virtues. And that is how we extract wisdom from everything. Doing what is right and avoiding what is wrong will help you to detect the right and the wrong in everything. It'll become first nature in you to acknowledge and to know what is right and what is wrong. The opposite of virtue is vice. What is vice? Vice is immoral habits brought about by routine behaviors that are so practiced that they may even occur subconsciously. The opposite of wisdom is true when a person practices evil, and it turns into practiced behavior, which becomes a vice. Something that is immoral is a violation of a moral law established by God. It's just that basic. Also known as sinful. Criminal. Criminal is an unlawful act punishable by a state or other authority. If you are a criminal, you have broken the law. Vice is also described as rudeness. People many times are defined by their rudeness. It is practiced behavior in them. Therefore, it is a vice. It can be a display of disrespect, of not complying with laws of social norms and etiquette. So we can step all over people, and that is vice. That is wrong in our character. So in other words, evil, which is usually perceived as the antagonistic opposite of good, that is what vice is. And wisdom is the highest form of ethics, dear friends. But that quality of wisdom can only be found and described and practiced and discerned from what we learn about God. So you can see that even though the world has access to tons of information, of knowledge, but it's very poor in wisdom. We're going to continue with this topic, and I hope that you will join us. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. May these truths challenge and change your heart. We hope today's topic has truly enriched your life so we can make America strong again. This program is made possible by the generous financial support of our listeners. All donations are tax deductible. We would love to hear your questions or comments. Please visit our website at www.culturallegacy.org. You may email us at cl@culturallegacy.org or write to The Future of America, P.O. Box 38456, Greensboro, North Carolina 27438. Call us at 877-732-2887. That's 877-732-2887. Remember, you are a person of positive or negative influence. What you do today will impact the future.